Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcari.
And we back on our usual days because we liked going to concerts.
Warped Tour Wednesday was awesome.
Oh, man. That was...
That was such a fun day.
Totally worth the sunburn that's making me look like a mummy now. Something about me, it just, yes, I know it's a sports podcast. I don't know. Thank you, as always, for listening on WGR550.com. Dude, I don't tan. I burn.
No.
I peel.
Same here.
I reset.
I do too.
And for me, it's easier to have that happen to than you. Because you can look at the two of us and you can tell which one is paler.
True. The thing is, I burn on my face typically, my neck, and my shoulders. I'm not going there. But I do tan on my legs and my arms. So my legs and arms, I wasn't worried about. It was my face.
Well,
and my shoulders.
And it was also forecasted to rain, and our faces paid the price.
Yes.
Good thing we work in radio and with podcasts.
Yeah.
But no, that was awesome. And I'll just give the shout-outs to a couple of the best shows that we saw there. I mean, Buffalo Zone, Every Time I Die. You got to give them props every time.
They were, yeah.
I may not listen to the heavy stuff, but I do love that they were strictly business. Like, we're here, you're here, this is the last Warped Tour. We're playing as many songs as we possibly can, damn it.
And they did. People are going nuts.
Because that's what always happens when they're here.
Yep.
And they're always there. When they play Warped Tour and Buffalo's on there, they're a guarantee. Simple Plan. Bro.
Great show.
You want to talk about just straight throwback?
Yes.
To the mid-2000s? Oh. Bro, that was a show.
Yes.
And then Less Than Jake,
Less Than Jake was really fun.
Less Than Jake was probably, I think, my favorite show of that whole thing.
Simple Plan was my favorite. And then we saw Real Big Fish as well. That was really fun.
Yeah. We the Kings was pretty good to end the night as well. So
that was a great end of the night.
I would suggest going to Warped Tour.
But now we can't because it's the last one.
But it was the last
one. This is the last year of the actual tour.
You know what? If you get a chance, if you're hearing this podcast and you feel like traveling to a Warped Tour destination while summer's still going on, I'd suggest just do it because
it was
awesome.
It's great.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Back to sports.
Sure.
Sure, he says. Because something happened between our last recording and now, Frank. Players not only reported to camp, they started. They got it going.
They did.
Pads are on now, baby.
Heads are on, and Tom Wilson got paid.
We'll get to that. Let's do that now.
Let's do that now, really.
Heavy.
Really?
What?
Cool. I don't know.
Hell.
I mean, at least the Rangers signed Brady Shea to a decent contract.
But
Tom Wilson?
Look, the money can at least be argued somehow.
Oh. I can't argue that. I like Wilson as a player.
How you could argue
this
it?
Isn't now. Let's get to the point though. This isn't a knock on Tom Wilson as a player. He had a good year this year. He had a really good year, a career high in points in 35, and he had 15 points in 21 playoff games, and obviously won the Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals.
All right.
Nothing against Wilson. In a way. Not against the player.
His suspensions make me say something against Tom Wilson.
But it's the fact that he, at best, is a 20 to 25 point player who accumulates more than at least he's good for 150 penalty minutes a year.
Mm-hmm.
And good for probably 25 points on average.
An inflated cap number would mean less term, usually.
No. This is a commitment.
No, I know.
A true commitment.
Like I said. Usually. What they did with Tom Wilson, you just said it, commitment. And Tom Wilson's going to look really great in Seattle in a couple years.
You know who's going to look great in Seattle in a couple years, too? Jakob Vrana. When Washington's got to deal him so they can take Wilson.
Oh, ouch. Yeah. Or they can at least hope that Wilson continues to successfully ride shotgun.
If Wilson can can play the way he did in the playoffs, at least without suspensions, if he can limit the suspensions and he can get the points, you can argue that the contract's fine.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, he never proved to be worthy of that kind of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of
six years, $31 million.
Meanwhile, Sam Reinhart and his agent are just
grinning,
jumping with joy.
Know who else
that.
Is probably grinning too?
Hmm.
Mitch Marner, Willie Nylander, Austin Matthews.
Yeah, actual,
they are grinning.
Actual,
all
RFAs.
Four of those players have the happiest smiles right now.
Oh my God, Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves gets a ridiculous amount of money for what he does. And now Tom Wilson does. I'm sorry.
Tom Wilson got worse. So much.
Well, because he
at
got
least
term. Reeves was grossly overpaid for what he does anyway. Wilson.
At least Reeves only got 2 years, though.
Yeah. But Wilson got term.
Yeah. And money. Reeves, I know, got like, what, $3 million for
yeah.
2 years?
Which is ridiculous for a guy who's best known for
ridiculous
punching people.
Ridiculous for him, yes. And then Wilson gets over $5
million
for 6 years.
But at least Wilson shows he can play hockey. As well.
In a way, yeah. In a way. At least with Brady Shea, he at least was more deserving of the contract he got from the Rangers.
Yes.
Just a little more, about 31 and a half for 6 years. I can live
around,
with that.
What is that, around Risto money right there?
Just under.
Risto, Gossespierre kind of money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Risto, Seth Jones.
Who?
Ha. Ha, ha, ha. But yeah, he got closer to that kind of money. And Brady Shea is at least a good defenseman.
Yes, he is.
And he's a top four defenseman right now.
Yeah,
who
good,
can,
a
who's
good
only
young
20,
defender.
He's 24.
Yeah.
So there's still room to grow with him. I can live with that.
Exactly.
Tom Wilson, not really.
Tom Wilson, that's a laugh.
Unless somehow he has like 50 points next season.
Go trade for Martin Erat again. I know, wrong GM, same team. That's a derp of a contract. Come on.
Yeah.
I thought we were getting somewhere.
Hockey. All right, want to go football? Let's talk about the training camp.
You know, it's kind of funny how things work.
Yeah.
I made the prediction that I expected AJ McCarron to be the starter. And that I wanted it to be Nathan Peterman for the revenge game.
Right. And I expected Peterman and obviously Juan Allen.
Well, your expectation and my want... Almost threw a pick six on the first pass of camp.
Yeah, I know.
Team drills.
Yeah, I know.
So it's good to know Peterman got off to right back to where he started from. There is a major concern with me now with him. And this isn't just overreaction anymore. This is a pattern. Overreacting is taking one game and making that his professional resume. Now you're seeing a pattern. Does he have the velocity to get the passes out on an out route, which is a staple in the NFL? If he doesn't, forget about the starting job. He could get cut if he plays like that.
Peterman, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, here's why it's not an overreaction, though, because I'm going to walk it back a bit.
Right.
Tre'Davious White's also really good.
Yeah.
So I'm not putting Peterman on a cross right now.
Yeah.
Because Tre'Davious White could have just read that. And I looked back at the pattern. It was a pretty sloppy out route, too. There was not a sharp cut. So it's easy for a corner to read that and go up. Mm-hmm. Especially a guy like Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
So there was a lot wrong with that first play of camp. But I can see why a lot of fans are going, oh, he's picking up where he left off. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I see where both sides are coming from in this. Yeah.
But I know I've got to walk it back, not overreact to it, and say, hey, Tre'Davious White is good at reading and recognizing. And
He's a good quarterback.
And it's good that that's the first day of practice, because guess what? In the game, I want you taking that ball, securing it, and going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least securing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you go for six. Give me that football.
Just get the possession.
Don't drop it.
Yeah.
Probably got a lot of ribbing from teammates after that.
Probably.
But yeah, the quarterback competition, it looms large.
Yes.
And at the time of this recording, practice is going on right now.
Yes. The fourth practice, yes.
Yes, the fourth practice of training camp. at St. John Fisher
the
College.
The second one in pads.
Exactly. And I'll be talking with Matt Perino of New York Upstate in a little bit as well, as he's covering the beat there for New York Upstate. Formerly the formerly a writer with UFC. Did a lot covering with the UFC. Buffalo native, comes back home now, though, to cover the Bills. And
he's got to love it.
He's, dude, he's super excited. Yeah. And I'm excited to get to talking to him because Frank has...
I have obligations that are called work, so...
Frank's got to actually do part of the job instead of podcasting, so...
Yeah.
We're fitting Frank in here today. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
But the quarterback competition is big. And from everything that I can recognize in the first 3 days, it's this. Allen has had the biggest peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
McCarron has looked steady, not spectacular.
As expected.
And Peterman has regressed to the mean. Because everyone was saying, don't sleep on him. You know, coaching staff really likes him. Well, if
now,
you don't perform well in the first 3 days overall.
Yeah, now it's like...
Now it's kind of like, now you have some work to do there, Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
And guess what? All that should have been expected.
Yeah.
Should have been. Mister, I'm looking at you thinking that you expected Peterman to be in the starting lineup.
I expected the steps forward, and he's taken the steps back.
Yes, and look, this is only 3 days in the training camp as well.
Yeah, it's true, and we're
on the heels of Josh Allen's best practice as a pro, where he looked phenomenal for almost all of the day yesterday. He threw one interception because he didn't want to overthrow his target.
Yeah.
But it was a nice play, and... Then he threw another interception to Jordan Poyer, but Benjamin
saw that.
Tried palming.
I saw the video, yeah.
Benjamin tried palming this thing.
That would have been a sick catch. That would have been a sick catch. But two, that was just a great...
Great defense by Vontae Davis.
Yes, Vontae Davis did excellent on that.
And Poyer...
Because he definitely got his hand on him. Poyer just scooped it up.
Yeah, because Benjamin has this thing in one hand going down.
Yeah.
Davis swats it away as they're both falling down.
Yeah.
And then Poyer's there like, oh, hey.
Poyer's like, hey, thank you.
Hey, ball, mine.
Yeah.
So it's going to be normal for a rookie quarterback to throw some picks in camp. It's going to be perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Don't freak out. As a matter of fact, it's perfectly normal for all these guys to throw interceptions in camp. I mean, hell, Aaron Rodgers threw three.
Well,
in a camp practice. So.
Also because the Bills have a really good secondary.
Oh, that too.
So that's going to skew things as well.
We got to remember that as well. No, but it happens, you know. Don't freak out
about
it.
You can't freak out over it.
Because
But you want to see Allen take those strides and making the right decisions, making the throws that seem to have troubled him.
Yeah,
last couple years.
Because we've seen the big plays from him already.
We know that he can make the big plays.
But we also saw a play where there's a running back on a swing 4 yards in front of him, and he overthrows it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that have to be cleaned up.
Yes, those are things. I remember you always talked about how he never set his feet before he threw. You want to make sure he's consistently doing that.
Technique has to be important, and guess what? As much as you can wow in training camp, the big thing is, can you do it while people are actually trying to hit you?
Yeah, in a game.
And they don't allow that in practice on your own quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They allow you to do it in practice games against the other quarterback.
Those preseason games, man.
There's one useful thing about preseason.
Yeah.
Getting the quarterbacks adjusted to getting hit.
Yeah.
And that's where Allen, Peterman, and McCarron are going to have to actually show what they're worth overall.
Yes, I agree.
It's all a process. You have to take the camp into effect as well. I remember, Frank, when we were at Buff State and we decided to go out for camp almost all the time. Louis DiBiase.
Yeah, this was Rex's first year.
Rex's first year, you had a full-blown quarterback competition between EJ, Tyrod, and Matt Castle.
Yeah.
I remember going to most of the practices, and my main takeaway was, just don't let it be Matt Castle.
Yeah, because he was the more conservative one.
But EJ didn't do anything to win the job.
Yeah.
And rarely did EJ look great. Yesterday, Josh Allen looked relatively great compared to the other quarterbacks. Whether that's a low bar, I don't know. But what I do know is Josh Allen needs to look more like that because he gives you hope. I remember right before camp opened, I had sent out the tweet, please, football gods, don't let this one hit the hospitality tent. Because if he did, everyone will lose their minds. That would be bad.
Very bad.
However, I also think, though, that, again, if you can dominate more of these practices, something that our last first-round quarterback could not do, that gives me hope. Is it trademark Bills to give you hope and then rip it from your heartstrings? Yes. But I like having hope. It's a dangerous game. I'm all about it. I like it. As a fan, I like being able to get emotionally attached and then cripplingly depressed about it. Not cripplingly depressed, but you know what I mean. I get a sad about a football team. So in the end, not a bad day. If Allen can keep playing like this, though, do you even keep him out of the lineup? I'm a firm proponent of letting the kid wait until he's ready. But if he actually shows that he is ready and he's got the technique and he's got things that he's been working on and it's showing on a consistent basis.
And he's only showing the progress.
Then if you show me progress, I'll show you the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, the preseason games are what are going to weigh heavily on me.
This is true. It's really going to come down to the games.
It's going to come down to the games. Can Allen, if he's on the third team, dominate against third stringers? Well, that'd be nice. But one of the big MOs for fans of Josh Allen was, oh, the guy never had a supporting cast. Well, guess what he's not going to have in preseason? Much of a supporting cast on the third string.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, everyone's good. Because they're NFL players.
Yep.
It's not like you're facing... I don't even know many schools out there in the Mountain West.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that once the preseason starts, I'm going to be all in on it. Because you're going to see a lot of time for Josh Allen.
Well, guess what, Derek? Preseason starts next Thursday.
For the Bills?
Yes.
Okay.
For the Bills.
So, we've got two more podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Three more podcasts. I can't math.
August 9th is the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Against Carolina.
Neat.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott revenge game.
This time it's at home.
I would say Zay Jones revenge game, but he's not playing right now. He's currently injured.
Yes.
On the non-football injury list. That's unfortunate. Because the Bills could use someone stepping up there.
Mm-hmm.
Another person, though, that people need to really continue to keep their eyes on is Brandon Riley. And he's a fan favorite and someone that I don't know about dismissed, but haven't paid enough attention to, I will say. But Sal tweeted that there's no way that Brandon Riley doesn't make it out of camp as a Buffalo Bill this year. And I would tend to agree. Because, if only for the fact that, hey, if he continues to play well in the preseason for the second straight year, then other NFL teams are going to be like, hey, this guy's a commodity. We can take him if Buffalo doesn't want him.
This is true.
So if Buffalo tries to waive to practice squad again, it's not going to happen this time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that they're seeing everything in front of their eyes, and maybe that's the true judgment. If he does somehow not make this team, then maybe the coaching staff thinks that he is not capable of playing for them. Because they will have seen him the most. However, I don't suspect that being an issue. If the guy really has been doing as well to the start of this camp as well as last year, where people thought he should have made the team, how do you deny him? And they can use someone, they can use a little bit of an unknown mystery and talent at the wide receiver position right now, because if only because they can use some talent.
They need just bodies there, guys who at least can play.
And Brian Daboll said something, and Joe and I talked about this on the training camp update podcast now. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing, by the way, on WGR550.com. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably listening to that one too. But Joe, Brayton, and I are going to every week give you the latest in what's going on in Bills training camp with a lot of sound from players and coaches and some opinion from the two of us or the three of us or whoever it is in there. So be sure to listen to it. It's a pretty good listen. It's always fun recording those podcasts now as we get that project started here as well.
Nice.
On WGR. Frank, I'm ready for this defense to go out on the field.
Yeah. I am too. They have looked...
Questions abound now, though, about Shaq Lawson. Sal mentioned this as a theory on Sports Talk Saturday.
Yes, he did. I remember hearing this.
Shaq Lawson possibly being a Reggie Ragland situation. Former high pick that was highly regarded in the organization that could be sold on pennies on the dollar if the team doesn't see him as a starter.
Right.
I don't think that'll happen. If only because this league, you need pass rushers. And you need a healthy rotation of them. Call me crazy, they might keep five defensive ends.
Think so?
Maybe. And it depends on how many of them will be willing to play special teams.
Okay.
If Shaq Lawson wants to save his job here in Buffalo, he might be willing to accept that.
Okay.
And I also think it's the fact that I think we haven't seen the last of Lawson yet. They have Trent Murphy as a starter right now, and Coach Sean McDermott said he is a three-down kind of player.
Right.
That doesn't mean that Lawson can't beat him out. But if he doesn't, you might see the team sell him off for a mid-round pick. And
that wouldn't shock me.
And it wouldn't shock me. And it would be the latest chapter in ejecting everything that Doug Whaley has done for the Bills.
Yeah.
It'd be the latest in another Whaley pick getting shipped off.
Yeah.
I would like to see Shaq Lawson succeed. I really would. I think that...
Really hype coming out of college. Really, I remember... Hyped.
One of my favorite players coming out of that draft.
Yeah. You were ecstatic when the Bills were able to get him at 19.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, this name's still on the board. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. I just know that I'm excited for this defense as a whole. And I want to see them try to rip another quarterback's head off right now. Because I want to see what this pass rush can look like as a more improved group. And Matthew Fairburn had tweeted out something on the second day of camp saying, we're already at the point where Jerry Hughes goes ahead and starts dominating plays to the point where they have to do things over. I'd be excited. If Jerry Hughes is back to being the terror that he normally is, and if Trent Murphy and Shaq Lawson can compete to a point where they're both better. And that's another way I think Lawson could stay. Is if he competes to the point where you see market improvement. They may not see him as a starter, but he's still playing well enough and competing and hungry enough that they can't deny him snaps. Well, that's one way to keep your job.
I guess.
This coaching staff would be all about it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited for the defense. I'm excited to see what we can get out of these quarterbacks in the preseason games. Let's get these teams out on the field. Let's snap the football. Let's play some football.
Yeah. Let's do it.
And we're only less than a week into training camp, and I'm already like, let's go. Come on.
Get the
season
going. August
9th cannot come soon enough for me.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, I don't know, man. This is it's an interesting time in Buffalo sports. I want Sabres training camp to get here. I want Bills training camp to power on through to the preseason games.
Yeah.
I can't remember the time where both of these teams offered this much promise and hype.
This much potential.
For both teams.
Yeah.
Because after the Sabres tank and you got Eichel, well, the Bills, to me, had hired Rex Ryan. And I thought that was a joke.
And you were right.
It wasn't about being right, Frank.
But you were right.
It was just about hating that meathead.
Yeah.
He's like, I never thought he was a good coach.
Yep.
And yes, again, I got proven right, but I didn't want to be.
Yeah. At what cost?
At what cost? Bills waste 2 years of everyone's time?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah, you wasted years off of my time.
Yep.
That's something you can't get back, folks.
No.
And then Sean McDermott comes waltzing in. Puts it back to a 4-3 defense. They look competent again.
Yeah.
And
playoffs.
Ploffs.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Huh.
All right, Frank, get to work. And I'm going to be switching gears. Frank's going to get to work, and I'm going to be talking now with New York Upstate's Matt Perino. All right, I'm being joined now by Matt Perino here on the Leftovers podcast. Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, writing on the beat with the Buffalo Bills. Matt, you and I, we ran into each other when UFC was back here in Buffalo a little bit earlier this year. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you here again, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be back. I mean, Buffalo is it's on the come up, right? I mean, that's the national headlines all the time that I've been reading out in Las Vegas, is Buffalo is a booming town, and I'm so excited to be able to bring my family back here. And obviously the biggest show in town is the Buffalo Bills, and I'll be excited to cover them.
Yeah, and not to mention you're out there at St. John Fisher College on the beat, and a lot – you couldn't have picked a more interesting year, I would say. I mean, there's no dark cloud of the drought hanging over anymore. There's a three-man QB competition. There's competitions at wide receiver, the offensive line, the DNs. There's so much to go into here. It's hard to pinpoint where to start, but for me, I want to start with Brian Daboll and the offense, the new scheme that's in there. 4 days in, and we're already seeing how much more creative it is than what the stale cracker of Rick Dennison's offense was last year.
100%. I mean, if you look just in camp, cycling through the three quarterbacks, seeing what all the guys that they've been working with, the big thing that stood out so far is Calvin Benjamin, the big red zone target, number one receiver, has spent a lot of time in the slot, which I think opens up so many opportunities. LeSean McCoy, I wrote today that I thought that he really, now this is just as my first training camp, and I definitely wait for the games to start, but it doesn't necessarily look like he's lost a step per se. I know that was one of the big talking points in the offseason, is at 30 years old, what are they going to be getting out of LeSean McCoy? And if you look at the two quarterbacks that are, you know, predicted to be competing for the job, you know, if you're on that side of the fence with Josh Allen's going to kind of sit and wait and develop a little bit, McCarron and Peterman are two guys that are going to really rely heavily on LeSean McCoy. And I think that with a guy like Brian Daboll, you have an offensive mind that, you know, is used to, you know, making those running backs really work for quarterbacks, especially guys like McCarron and Peterman.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, why don't we talk about these quarterbacks here? I mean, Allen through 4 days has looked promising from all reports that I've read. McCarron seems to be steady. Peterman's been the up-and-down one the most. I mean, you saw it with the very first pass of the very first practice with him, almost throwing a pick-six to Trey White. And it almost seems like he's lost a little bit of the luster that he was hyped up with this offseason. So who do you think the favorite is as of right now through this early portion of the training camp, and how do you think in particular Josh Allen has been looking?
So I think that so much going on here, right? Like, you know, three guys that are really, really pushing for the job. I think that you're right on the money. I think Peterman's been the most underwhelming in terms of how he's looked the first 4 days. I think I do want to throw it out there, and something that I'll probably be writing about next week is it's tough to take too much away from training camp, right? Like, I mean, these guys are out there, it's drills, there's no tackling, and it's a little bit different. So I'd like to kind of hold my, you know, prediction until we start seeing them, you know, in game environments. But I think Josh Allen is demonstrating that he is a guy that's willing to go out there and use that big arm and take chances. I mean, you saw it, you know, he threw a 50-yard, he only had one real highlight today, day four, Sunday practice. He threw a 50-yard bomb to Robert Foster on the left sideline. and it was just everything that the Bills bought in this draft, taking him at number 7. I mean, the guy just, you know, took a chance, threw it downfield, used his arm strength. I think Foster might have been out of bounds, but, you know, you get the point. And I think that Josh Allen he's got superstar potential. He's got moxie. I've watched him interact with the fans, and it just feels different. And, you know, you talk about A.J. McCarron, a guy that going into this whole offseason, people have been talking about, you know, he's a steady guy. He'll make smart plays. You know, he doesn't have a huge arm, but, you know, hopefully he can be that game manager, right? Which is what they kind of got away from with Tyrod Taylor. And so I think that, you know, Josh Allen, the job is his to win. I mean, if he can go on there and in these preseason games and show that, you know, he can make some plays. Obviously, he's a young guy. He's going to make mistakes. But if he gives you a chance at those big plays, the kind of opposite of Tyrod Taylor, a guy that just didn't want, was scared to throw interceptions at times, I think, last season. I think that that's really going to be, you know, to a guy like Dable, who's super creative and wants to, you know, get this offense going, and almost like, you know, when you got a shiny new toy in the toy box, I mean, you want to take it out and play with it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I would suspect, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Matt, I would suspect that Allen will still remain with the threes on August 9th to try to maximize his playing and the amount of reps that he would get against Carolina in that first preseason game. Would you think that to be the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think predominantly through the first 4 days, McCarron and Peterman have been switching off with the first team. So unless something changes drastically next week, I would imagine that they're going to want to get him as many reps as possible. That's something that the coaching staff, Dable and McDermott, both emphasized this week is, you know, there's a lot of young guys at these position battles, and, you know, it's hard early on this process, especially before camp starts, but even in the early days, even with 2 days here with pads, to kind of, you know, evaluate where these guys are going to be when there's so many reps and so many snaps that we're going to get over the course of the next couple weeks. So I think it could be all over the place. I don't think that the one thing I do like is I don't think McDermott or Bean, Dable, Frazier, I don't think anybody is out here saying what's going to be. They kind of want to just watch this whole thing play out. All these competition battles, position battles, they think are great for, you know, competitive fire of the team, and we'll see how they all play out.
And, you know, these last 2 days at wide receiver, we've been seeing a lot of Malachi Dupre out there with the ones. Matt, I've yet to get out to camp, so I'm very jealous of guys on the beat with this sort of thing. How has Dupre been looking in that battle with the wide receivers?
Yeah, he's been out there pretty consistently, right, with the ones. He hasn't really stood out a ton to me. I'll be honest, I've been looking at, you know, different places, and you know, it's my first camp, so I haven't been like tallying every single thing that's happening. I'm kind of just taking it all in. But I think that you know, a guy that I think is going to make an impact for this receiving group over the course of camp and then into preseason is Jeremy Curley. I think that he brings, I've already talked to a couple of the guys, Austin Prohl today, about just how important that veteran leadership is, that veteran presence. And this is a guy that's been here, done that in a group of really, really, really young, wide receivers. So I know Dupre is getting those first team looks, and I'm very, very interested to see what he does with them in a game environment. But I think that, you know, Jeremy Curley is going to be the guy that you look at to be that number, maybe number two with Benjamin. But who knows where they're all going to line up? I mean, Benjamin's in the slot, so I feel like, you know, Dable will play around with all that.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a fan favorite at wide receiver, Brandon Riley. How's he been looking in camp so far?
The two guys that have really, like, of the, you know, the lower, like, you know, guys not getting the headlines per se, Riley hasn't stood out a ton to me either. I've been really impressed with Foster. I think that he's a physical, fast receiver that I know has gotten a bunch of headlines. Kalen Clay made that one play yesterday, and that really stood out to me. But I've read all the stuff on Brandon, and I'm very excited to, again, see him in the game environment, but nothing super has stood out to me yet.
All right, so Matt, Matt Perino of New York Upstate joining us on the Leftovers podcast here on WGR550.com. I want to switch over to the defense. A lot of talk about defensive end, in particular with Shaq Lawson. Trent Murphy, as Leslie Frazier had said today, Trent Murphy is right end one. And what does it mean for Shaq Lawson? Has Lawson been able to provide good competition at the defensive end spot so far? Because we've heard a lot about how he is in better shape this year and how he's got a lot more of a drive to really make a difference for this Bills team.
Mm-hmm. What was the question? Sorry.
How has Lawson been looking out there?
So I think that, you know, in a few one-on-one drills early on in camp, day one and day two without the pads, I think that he was overmatched a bit by a few of the matchups on the offensive line. But what I find so interesting about the Shaq Lawson storyline, you know, throughout this whole preseason training camp is you had McDermott come out and say that, yeah, Shaq Lawson has a lot to prove, and this is an important camp for him. He came out and said that. And then Leslie Frazier today talked about how, you know, almost like lightened that stance a little bit. And like, you know, Shaq's very young. He's still developing. He's doing a good job. Almost like it's almost like a little, you know, good cop, bad cop maybe. But, you know, you can't sugarcoat things. And he is a first-round draft pick. There are serious, serious expectations when it comes to his production. And they're just the consistent pass rush for this team wasn't there last year. And when you bring in a guy like Trent Murphy who's had so much success, who had a season with so much success, I think that that lights a fire and that, you know, almost shines the magnifying glass on Lawson even more. And, you know, we could take, you know, how he's doing in camp and, like, at day-to-day, like, how he's practicing, but I think that coaches are going to want to see him, you know, produce in game situation, and those four preseason games are going to be really important for Shaq Lawson.
Now, everyone talks about Tremaine Edmonds. He's talented, he's hyped. And how is Tremaine Edmonds looking with the pads on and with the body starting to fly a little bit?
Man, he's just so – it's amazing to just watch him, you know. It's you get to the stadium or you get to the practice field, look around, and no matter where you look when you're scanning the field, you find Tremaine Edmonds immediately. I mean, the guy just towers over everybody. I did a story, posted a story last night. I spoke with Lorenzo Alexander and Star Latulule because, you know, two veteran guys. Lorenzo, who's been at the position of linebacker for, you know, nine seasons, and then Star, a guy that's played in front of, you know, Luke Kuechly and a guy that knows what he's talking about. And both of them said the same thing. This guy is the talent and possibilities are endless. I mean, with Tremaine Edmonds, and what's good about him is, you know, when you come into the league as a rookie, it's, you know, learning the schemes and the defense of the offense. But for him, he's going to have so much extra on his plate because he's got to be kind of telling everybody else what to do. But Lorenzo Alexander said that it's, you know, he takes it upon himself as a team leader to help him with that. I mean, it's not going to come overnight. He needs the reps. He needs the experience to be able to fully kind of quarterback that defense. But Latulule said, I mean, every time that he, you know, catches a glimpse of him on the practice field, I mean, the speed is just, it just stands out.
Matt, one of my last questions that I have for you with the defense in the secondary, Vontae Davis, he's coming off of an injury, and Leslie Frazier this morning, he had said something along the lines of, we're not going to try to play more man and zone just yet because of the fact that he is coming off of this injury. How fresh is Vontae Davis looking out there? He made a nice play in yesterday's practice where he makes a deflection on Kelvin Benjamin on a one-on-one situation. Next thing you know, Jordan Poyer comes up with a pick. So how's Vontae Davis looking up there?
To be honest with you, there's nothing that's happened in the 4 days that made me stop and say, oh, wow, that was a bad play for Vontae Davis, which, I mean, I guess is a good thing, right? But, you know, the guy comes here with, you know, two Pro Bowls. You know, he's taking over for a guy in E.J. Gaines who was had a pretty underrated season last year. I mean, I don't think he was super heralded, but, you know, I was reading on Pro Football Focus, and he graded out pretty high for his performance last season. So you bring in Vontae Davis, and Leslie Frazier said today, which I thought was interesting. I think everybody's penciling him in for that number two cornerback spot, but Leslie Frazier said, listen, we're still evaluating. We're still very early on in the process. We have to make sure that this is still the same guy, the same Vontae Davis, you know, that that was out there on the field before this injury. And groin injuries, especially for the skill positions, are really, really tricky things. I mean, you think back to even, you know, Bill's example, Stevie Johnson, guy dealt with a groin injury, I felt like, every season. So I think that it's going to be a waiting game. And, again, I hate to keep harping on this, but you get him in the game situation, see how he, you know, is able to hold up there. And he's a veteran, though. I mean, unless somebody completely wows out of that group of, you know, Borders and Pitts and a few of those other guys, I mean, the guy has experience. I think you're going to see him at the number two spot.
Matt, are there any observations that some of your biggest let's try that again. Matt, are there any observations that you have out there? What has stood out most to you out there in Bill's training camp through the first 4 days?
That's a great question. I think I kind of said it. It'll be two parts here. I kind of said it. I thought that Allen was going to be really overwhelmed with all this. Coming from Wyoming, all eyes on him, cameras in his face, fans wanting autographs. And through 4 days, there's been a few sprinkles of frustration. You know, he had that one, I think it was either the first or second day. It's all kind of going together now. But he had a bad day, and you could see some frustration on him. But then I almost feel like the tide turned on that third day when he was really he just had made a couple of really awesome plays. And when he threw the touchdown pass to Clay, it was like, it was after the fact. He saw Clay kind of running back to him, and he just roared, man. Like, he was like, let's go. Like, I mean, like, you could see the fire and the passion, the stuff that, you know, draft experts were talking about. The guy's a competitor. He wants to, and he's also got that persona. I mean, he was going off the field today, or heading towards the locker room on the second practice field. Fans usually line up because it's right close to the locker room, so they can try to get some autographs. And Allen saw him, and he kind of, like, he waved to him, and then he, like, kind of veered off like he was going to walk in the locker room, and then he kind of, like, did a little joke, dipped his head back, and ran down the line. I mean, playing it up to the crowd. I mean, the guy's already kind of got it, you know? So, and I think the fans, that's part two. I spent 32 years in Buffalo, 31 years, mm-hmm. and grew up around the Bills, watching the Bills, and I didn't go out to camp a ton. It just never happened for whatever reason. I think I've gone twice. But, you know, the fan interaction, it reminds me of the UFC where I was before. I mean, they do a really good job of, like, you know, at open workouts and public events, like, giving access to the fighters. And I feel like this is, like, training camp is just, like, complete access to the superstars of your team. I mean, McCoy out there signing for, you know, 30 minutes taking pictures, Josh Allen, Kyle Williams. I mean, I can't say enough about that guy. The first day, he's the first one to start signing and the last one to leave. And I mean, and you can't overstate what he means to this city and this team. But it's just it's been a great experience this first go around here.
Matt, thanks for taking the time to be able to talk with us on the Bills there. And you can find his work, NewYorkUpstate.com. And Matt, tell the fans, the listeners, where they can find you on Twitter, anything else that you're working on.
Yeah, it's at Matt Parrino, MattParrino, and definitely find out, follow Bills Updates. It's just at Bills Updates. That's our Bills dedicated Twitter account for NYUp.com. And, you know, we're just going to be bringing you guys coverage. My specialty is, digital, the digital experience. So I'm going to be bringing a lot of written content and video content, and hopefully chatting with you again soon, Derek.
Oh, that would be great, Matt. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, take care.
And that'll do it here for another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer for Frank R. Curry, who had to actually start doing some work instead of being able to sit around and do a podcast this afternoon. So, well, hey, if you've got any questions, feel free to let us know. You can holler at Matt Parrino, at Matt Parrino. You can holler at me, at Derek Kramer WGR. You can holler at Frank R. Curry, at Frank R. Curry. Thank you, as always, for listening on WGR550.com and on-demand audio. Make sure you can check out everything that's going on now in on-demand audio. Bills, players, coaches, everything is coming in there on demand. If there's a single word said out there at St. John Fisher, you know Sal's got his microphone underneath and ready to go, hitting the record button on that. So be ready for all of the Bills sound coming in through training camp, through preseason, and then, of course, when Bills season gets started. Thanks again to Matt Perino of NewYorkUpstate.com for joining us today on the pod as well. He's out there at St. John Fisher with our own Sal Capaccio. Nate Geary was out there this weekend as well. Yo, we got Del Reed, 26 shirts, coming on to join us for our next podcast as well on Wednesday. So that should be fun there as well. Thank you always. And again, for listening. This is the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer. Peace out. And you know, as they always say, go get yourself some Bills training camp. Get out there to St. John Fisher. It's always fun.